Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. You've probably had Aunt Jemima branded syrup or pancakes at some point in your life, and you'd probably recognize the depiction of the Aunt Jemima character on the branding that's owned by Illinois-based company Quaker Oats. But do you know the name Nancy Green? She was the real Chicago woman who was originally hired at the 1893 World's Fair to portray Aunt Jemima, and it's her recipe that you've probably enjoyed. Last week, Quaker Oats acknowledged that the Aunt Jemima brand and logo was based on racial stereotypes, having roots in minstrelsy and slavery, and they announced that they'll discontinue the brand. Many critics say the move is long overdue, but there's also a push by some to tell the real story of Nancy Green and ensure that her legacy is honored and preserved. Joining us now is Professor Jason P. Chambers. He's an associate professor of advertising at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, author of the book Madison Avenue and the Color Line, African Americans in the Advertising Industry. Professor Chambers, hello. Welcome to the 21st.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And we also have with us Sherry Williams, who's founder and president of the Bronzeville Historical Society, and Marcus Hayes, author and a descendant of Nancy Green, for whom the Aunt Jemima brand was based or named. Sherry and Marcus, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation also. Our lines are open. If you have a question for our guests or want to share your thoughts on Quaker Oats' decision to discontinue the Aunt Jemima branding, give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Professor Chambers, I want to begin with you. Can you talk a little bit about what the Aunt Jemima logo, symbol, and brand represent, and specifically why it's problematic?
Well, it's problematic because it's confirmation of and it's perpetuation of a lie. And it's the perpetuation of the lie of the myth of the Old South, the myth of the happy slave, the myth of the African-American female as having enjoyment only in her service to Caucasian Americans. So it's perpetuation of a terrible, terrible lie and a terrible stereotype that's injured both African-Americans and the nation as a whole, because it keeps us from and kept us from really encountering and the complicated story that is the Civil War, and the complicated story, as we've learned recently, the complicated story of race that's still very much with us. So that perpetuation of image, even in something as seemingly as innocuous as a pancake mix or a pancake syrup, still has weight, still has meaning. If it had no meaning, there would be no pushback to the change of the name. So it has meaning, and that meaning has been a damaging image to African Americans for the better part of a century.
And, you know, I think another version, I mean, this is called the mammy stereotype, right? People might be familiar with this from the Gone with the Wind or depiction of how the, you know, one of the characters there is portrayed. Is that, that's in the same through line here of history?
It's absolutely in the same vein. The African American female cook, the African American, the heavyset African American mammy, the mammy figure, if you just think about that and you break it down as the mothering figure. But the mothering figure only is ever shown mothering children who don't look like her, obviously not her own children. She's only shown mothering, if we reduce it to that, only shown mothering cooking for Caucasian families. You don't see her serving African-American children. You don't see her serving even another African-American woman. You don't ever see her eating her own pancakes. I'll go one further. So it's the perpetuation again of that, and an extension of that lie, and that mammy stereotype that maybe people are as familiar with from that Gone with the Wind image. That's exactly what we're talking about, as well as the pejorative, the insult, the name. Aunt Jemima, if that very name can be used as an insult to African American women today. So it's a name, it's a character, it's an image that's filled with negative meaning.
Professor, there's a clip that's gone viral this week of a white student speaking at President Trump's rally in Tulsa this past weekend, and I wanted to just play a little bit of that and get your reaction to it.
Aunt Jemima was canceled. And if you didn't know, Nancy Green, the original first Aunt Jemima, she was a picture of the American dream. She was a freed slave who went on to be the face of the pancake syrup that we love and have in our pantries today. She fought for equality, and now the leftist mob is trying to erase her legacy.
So, Professor Chambers, listening to that clip, I wonder, what would you say to those who, you know, say Aunt Jemima is just a branding image, discontinuing it is an example of this, you know, so-called cancel culture?
I would say that they have that latitude. I would say that their privilege gives them the latitude not to care. Right. Well, why should I care about this image? Why should any of us care about this image of an African American on a box of pancake mix or syrup? Well, why should I care? Well, you should care because the people who it's purported to depict care. You should care because it's a pejorative image that has been used of African Americans for over a century, and it's been made innocent by the fact that it's on a box of pancake mix, but it is absolutely still a perpetuation of that negative stereotype that African Americans have fought for years, decades to erase. And here's what I would say to the Quaker Company. If you want to do something, if you want to make it simple, change the name of the pancake mix to Nancy Green's Pancakes and put her image on the box, boom, done, right? Keep it simple. If you want to honor her, do something like that. But what I would say to that young woman is you need to educate yourself and maybe read a book rather than reading things off of a website.
Hmm. Listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. We're discussing Illinois-based Quaker Oats' decision last week to pull the Aunt Jemima brand after acknowledging it was based on racial stereotypes. And we're also looking behind the symbol to Nancy Green, who, as we just heard, who's the Chicago woman who originally was portraying Aunt Jemima at the World's Fair. And we invite you to join the conversation. Do you support Quaker Oats' decision to pull the branding? And are there other racially offensive brands or mascots that you think should be retired? Give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And Sherry Williams, founder and president of the Bronzeville Historical Society, I want to bring you into the conversation now. The Society's mission, as I understand it, is to preserve and protect African-American history and culture in Chicago. You've done extensive research on the woman behind this brand, Nancy Green. Can you tell us how and when she came to be the symbol that became Aunt Jemima?
Well, I wanted to revisit some of the commentary that Professor made and absolutely understand that images can be injurious. But at this moment, I certainly believe that this is such a teaching moment. Mothers, of course, especially Black mothers, have been figures in Black households and clearly associated with a subservient role when folks kind of examine how Aunt Jemima's image has been perceived, but that clearly is not so for everyone. And so for myself, being a Black woman, a Black mother, a Black grandmother, and being around many women who absolutely wore a bandana or a rag maybe on their heads in order to do this work that was labor intensive, for me, I look at that image in a heroic way because I have some backstory on the life of Nancy Green. And so, you know, I really believe that with this being a teaching moment, that we should examine the fact that Green was a former slave and she would have witnessed the nearly 4 million men and women of African descent being freed. And she would have also witnessed the end of Black codes here in Illinois. She would have witnessed Black men in Chicago who had also been newly freed, exercising their right to vote. And she certainly would have been one of the women who would have cast their vote in Chicago when the 19th Amendment was ratified, giving women the right to vote. And so I clearly believe that the perceptions around the imagery, for me, I believe, is quite different because I'm looking at the life of Nancy Green and her experiences and her trials and her triumphs, as opposed to it being an image which is clearly clearly said by the company, it's a character and it's far from the truth.
And as I understand it, she was hired to portray this character at the World's, or the Columbian Exposition, I guess it was called, 1893. Do you think that Nancy Green was taken advantage of?
Well, it's hard to even imagine what her position was when she took on the role, but I certainly admire her as a woman who had clearly understood business savviness. She clearly understood that this was a way to bring income into her household. And I mean, Black women over the centuries have done roles and have done work that might have been considered demeaning or unimportant. And I just really believe that for Nancy Green, this being a source of income, a way that she could bring income into her household, was probably the one idea that she had in taking the role.
Marcus, you're a descendant of Nancy Green, Marcus Hayes. I want to bring you into the conversation. Can you tell us what's your relation to her and who was she, separate from her representation as Aunt Jemima?
Sure. So I am her great nephew. It would be like great to the sixth power nephew.
Yes.
That's who I am. And who she was, I mean, she was a mother, a sister, a niece. She was a woman who made the best out of her situation. She was born into something that she didn't ask for, but made the best out of it. She used what she knew to make sure that her family at the time was taken care of, to provide, while still being looked at as less than human. She was looked at as property, and she still rose to the occasion and made something great out of her life. So she was more than just what we see today. She founded one of the oldest churches in Chicago, at Olivet Baptist Church. She used the money that she had for the community. She was a voice for equality. She was way more than what we could ever perceive her to be from a box.
So I wonder, what are your feelings then on Quaker Oats' decision to pull the Aunt Jemima brand, and how would you like her legacy to be preserved?
Yeah, so I kind of agree with the professor a little bit with that I understand that the character in itself has some negative tones to it because of the racism that exists in the United States and probably all over the world. But I also have a heart for her legacy to be told and to be shared. Specifically, I agree that although they tried to make this a character, that this is the time when they can actually rectify the situation and say, hey, this was a real person who we took, we have her recipe and she's fed millions. She was a real person. She was just not someone who smiled. She had feelings, emotions. She cared. She was a woman who was passionate about just making it in life. She's a real person. She's just not a character. So for me to easily, I guess one great suggestion, like the professor said, is to acknowledge that Nancy Green is who she is. It's who Aunt Jemima is. Take away the Aunt Jemima, take away the smiling face. I get that. Put Nancy Green on the box. People have benefited from this. From her recipe, people have benefited from her telling her stories while cooking her recipe. Mm-hmm. You know, so do what's right and call it Nancy Green's pancakes, Nancy Green's syrup.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Just a reminder to our listeners, you can give us a call at 800-222-9455. And we do have a call now. Mark from Springfield, I understand you think that Quaker Oats is overreacting. Mark, are you there? Okay. I think we lost that caller. Professor Chambers, I wonder, we do hear about that, you know, Quaker Oats is overreacting. What do you, is this just a question of privilege like we heard earlier?
To me it is, because I would simply ask the question, what's the harm, right? If we change the name, if we're not changing the mix, if we're not changing the recipe, if we're not changing the syrup, what is the harm in removing the character? I say, take away the character, take away the name, and absolutely, positively, unequivocally, unquestionably foreground Nancy Green. Put her story, put her picture, put the history of the character and why it was removed. Put that on the box. Put that in your marketing materials. Put that on the labels, right? So take away the character, but keep the person, keep the story. Use that, again, as was said a moment ago, use it as the educational moment that it is. Talk about Black women, talk about image. You can do all of those things. You can educate while at the same time saying this character that has been so damaging, this type, and it's not just Aunt Jemima, it's been replayed in other films and other products over the years, but this character and this type has meaning, and here's why we took it away, right? And then you can use it to educate people as to why it's not an overreaction, because it's been something that people have been pushing against for decades, for the better part of a century. If it did not matter, it would be an argument that that emerged in society at a point and disappeared and never came back again. But we can look back at history and see time after time after time after time, decade after decade after decade, this brand, this character, this image, not the person, not Nancy Green, but the character, the image being held up by African Americans and saying, stop using us like that. Stop reducing us to just that. Expand the image of us. Are there Black women who look like that, who act like that, who do those things, who wear clothes like that? Absolutely. But for that to be the only image of us that exists in media and communications, that's just plain wrong, right? It's just plain wrong. And if it did not matter, trust me, we wouldn't have cared for as long as we have.
Yeah, I'd like to continue this conversation after a short break here. So if you can all stick around, we have been speaking with Professor Jason Chambers, a professor of advertising at the University of Illinois, author of the book Madison Avenue and the Color Line, African Americans in the Advertising Industry. Also, Sherry Williams, founder and president of the Bronzeville Historical Society, and Marcus Hayes, who is a descendant of Nancy Green, the woman on whom the Aunt Jemima brand was based. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. I want to remind our listeners, you can always join in, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Stay with us. More to come on this conversation after a short break. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're going to continue our conversation about the Illinois-based Quaker Oats' company decision to pull Aunt Jemima syrup and pancake branding and replace it with something else to be determined. We've also been talking about Nancy Green, the real-life Chicago woman who was the basis for that character, was hired to portray that character at the Columbian Exposition, the World's Fair in Chicago in the late 1800s. And Sherry Williams, founder and president of the Bronzeville Historical Society, also Professor Jason Chambers from the University of Illinois, and Marcus Hayes, who's a descendant of Nancy Green. And Sherry Williams, I understand you're pushing for Nancy Green's resting place, which is currently an unmarked grave, to be given a headstone. Can you talk about why that's important?
Yes. Certainly, in the scheme of Chicago's role for the period of the Civil War, we found our organization looking more deeply as to whom would have been around in Chicago prior to the Civil War and some 50 years after. And this is how I began really taking a look at those who are interned at Oakwood Cemetery. And we noticed immediately that through using Ancestry.com and also Find a Grave and other online tools, that many people were at least sharing publicly some of those whom they felt needed recognition beyond what they might have shared online. And one of those individuals whom stood out prominently was certainly Nancy Green. And so I would imagine probably close to 15 years ago, when we first started doing Underground Railroad tours, they were centered around residents in Chicago whom had some notes about their participation as Civil War soldiers and the U.S. colored troops, and also their role as abolitionists and those who were aiding those who came here as freedom seekers. And so Nancy Green kept coming to the surface over and over again, and we thought collectively as community, we need to have her grave marked in a meaningful way. And so as painful as these histories are around enslavement and many untold stories for the Quaker Oats Company, you know, simply removing the Aunt Jemima name and as a brand or the image does not erase or make disappear these painful experiences. So we have to date already raised more than $5,000 to put a marker on Mrs. Nancy Green's gravesite. We are certainly looking for more contributions to come in to make certain that the marker is suiting that of her role as a freedom seeker, a woman whom had been enslaved, and a woman who, of course, left a legacy with the Aunt Jemima brand.
And we got a caller, not on the air, but who called in to say, Dory from DeKalb says that Quakers were abolitionists and should not support the Aunt Jemima brand. Dory identifies as a Quaker, but she thinks Nancy Green should be honored for who she was and the experiences she went through, not necessarily Aunt Jemima. Marcus, I wonder, when the decision was made to discontinue Aunt Jemima, Pepsi Company, which owns Quaker Oats, announced it would begin a $400 million initiative to, quote, lift up Black communities and increase Black representation at Pepsi, close quote. And Marcus, my question for you, I guess, was Nancy Green compensated fairly for the branding of Aunt Jemima?
Thank you for bringing that up. I do not believe so. In fact, to this day, her descendants do not receive, we have not received any compensation from Quaker Oats or PepsiCo. In fact, the decision to change Ancient Mama, if you will, to take it off the shelves, we have not been in conversation with Quaker Oats or PepsiCo on how we felt or, you know, what can we do? And then for them to come up with this reparations, if you will, act to over the next 5 years to give $400 million to different outlets without addressing the families of people of the brand Ancient Mama, the ladies and the women who came even after my great aunt. It's distasteful that they did not even reach out and say, hey, this is what's happening. I know that you are a descendant. We want to make our wrongs right, and we want to make sure that the family is in agreement and how we move about, we move forward. There's nothing left for the family. To put it in context, the people who have benefited from Quaker Oats and PepsiCo, their great-great nephew to the sixth power, like I am, is taken care of. Matter of fact, their children is taken care of, their unborn children. Yet the families of Nancy Green and the ladies that came after her, we're left with nothing. To give you even more context, I didn't understand my lineage of who my ancestors were until last year. Nancy Green, my father died when I was 3 years old. So his side of the family, I did not know. And thanks to Sherry, who is persistent about pursuing this, did a genealogy test and was able to track it back to me. Now I'm sitting here with a loss of sense of who I am, and come to find out my ancestor has done something so monumental that millions of people and billions of dollars have been given in, you know, off of what she's done. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's so distasteful that we haven't even had a conversation with them, that they won't even acknowledge us. It's hard to believe that we're living in a day and a time like this where people can benefit and take advantage of your ancestors and you still feel the effect 100 years later.
Yeah. Well, we need to wrap the conversation very soon, but just really briefly, Professor Chambers, I want to end with you. It seems the Aunt Jemima brand is on her way out, but there's still professional football team in Washington, D.C., baseball team in Cleveland that are based on offensive Native American stereotypes, not to mention high school and college teams. Do you think we're at a moment of reckoning with racially problematic brands and mascots? And briefly, what do you hope to see?
Well, I do think we're at a reckoning, and I hope to see this moment be used for its educational value, certainly on Nancy Green and her history, her story, and on the family, but also the impact of these stereotypical, derogatory, or at a minimum, racially insensitive names. And why can't we as a nation just here in 2020 say, is this a complicated discussion? Absolutely. Is it a challenging discussion? Is it an economic discussion? Does it have economic ramifications and impact? Sure. But why can't we as a nation say, let's just move forward past the easy ones, right? Let's move forward past the name of the team in Washington. Let's move forward past the name of the baseball team in Cleveland. Let's move forward past the name of a football team in Florida. All of those things. Let's just, you know, the low-hanging fruit, if you will, no pun intended to the Billie Holiday song, the low-hanging fruit, if you will, that we can just move past those things and then move on to the ever more complicated parts of the discussion about race, about naming, about economic impact, about compensation for descendants and family members, which I 100% think should happen. Then let us move forward from here. Use this teaching moment to move forward from here.
We're going to have to leave it there. Our guests have been Professor Jason Chambers, Associate Professor of Advertising at the University of Illinois, author of the book Madison Avenue and the Color Line, African Americans in the Advertising Industry, as well as Sherry Williams, founder and president of the Bronzeville Historical Society, and Marcus Hayes, an author and a descendant of Nancy Green. Professor Chambers, Sherry, Marcus, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.